All right, so this is our last class, the fifth of our five-part series in the history of Responsa. And today we have a fascinating question that we are going to discuss through the lens of a tshuva, a responsa, written by Rabbi Ben Sion Uziel, who lived from 1880 to 1953. He was a very well-known and acknowledged rabbinic authority who was the first Ashkenazi chief, first Sephardi chief rabbi of Mandatory Palestine. He was Rav Kook's counterpart. Rav Kook was the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi, and he was the first, Rav Uziel was the first Sephardi. So they were partners, and he has, I think it's a 7 or 8 volume collection of responsa literature, as well as articles written on Jewish thought and the Jewish holidays. He also is very well known for having a particularly liberal or particularly lenient approach to conversion, which recently has become a very hot topic again. Yes, a very interesting approach to conversion. Before he was the chief rabbi in Israel, I believe he served in Turkey and other places as chief rabbis in various cities and other places. So this question actually stems directly from other things we've been talking about over the last almost 10 days since Rosh Hashanah and before with our class, which is, what is the real nature of repentance? And as we've discussed on a few occasions, that there are some formulations in the Talmud and elsewhere that look at repentance as the ability to really undo the past, which brings with it a very interesting question, something we discussed on Shabbat Shuva, where we saw that according to Rabbi Yosef Albo, who's a medieval rabbinic authority, he wondered, how does repentance work? Right? If someone speaks gossip and then repents for it, it doesn't change the fact that those words were spoken. The example he uses, if someone violates the Shabbat and then verbally repents for it, it doesn't change the fact that the Shabbat was violated. He says, if you knock down a house, you can't rebuild it with words, right? So there are some things which just simply can't be done with repentance. And then he likened repentance to the idea of nullification of vows, that if you take a vow, let's say, never to eat meat again, and then the holiday comes, you go before the rabbis, and they ask, well, had you known when you made the vow that it would mean that you couldn't eat meat on the holidays, would you have made the vow? And if the person says no, then the rabbis release him from the vow, which because it means when the person made the vow, he really wasn't thinking ahead in terms of what it meant. He wasn't really... Almost as if it's saying he wasn't really of sound mind because he didn't really understand what he was doing. So similarly, if one repents from their sin and realizes the harm they've done through their sin, if they were to be asked, would you do that sin again if you knew the harm it would bring, the person says no, then it's as if, just like the vow is nullified, the sin is actually nullified.
Not the harm to fellow man, but the harm to him and God.
So that's a good question. So what about if you've done harm to a fellow man? And the question that Rav Uziel is going to deal with is even more interesting. The question he's being asked actually is, can you unmake a mamzer, believe it or not? Can you unmake a mamzer? What's a mamzer? A mamzer is a child born from a woman who had relations and became pregnant from someone other than her husband. That's the Jewish definition of a mamzer. It's not that she's had it's not like we say a bastard. That means two out of wedlock. That's not what it means in halacha. It means a woman was married to Mr. Schwartz, and she has relations and gets pregnant from Mr. Klein.
Weiss.
Right, Mr. Weiss. Right, Schwartz and Weiss. And then that's a problem. That baby is a mamzer. That baby is, that child has a sort of a mark on it forever. So really the person sends a question to Rabbi Uziel, says, what about tshuva? What if the parents of this baby repent? And so really it's a unique situation, right? The parents are going to be forgiven for their sin, but the child is going to be left a mamzer with all of the negative baggage that that brings with it.
It doesn't cancel that.
Doesn't. That's the question. Shouldn't it cancel it? If the parents, we just explained it, but Yosef Albo, right? If the parents repent and you ask them, had you realized the damage you have done before, would you have done it? No. Okay, so you're forgiven. But what about the fact that now you have this baby? This baby exists.
And he's still bad.
And that's what the person wants to know. Can we undo the mamzer status? And we'll read the question, and we'll read the selections from Rav Uziel's answer. But that's the question. Can we undo it, especially considering the fact that this is a unique situation? Because if you speak gossip, okay, you spoke gossip. And now it's gone. Gossip's over. Maybe that's not such a good example because gossip lives. But let's say it's you ate treif. Okay, you ate it. Now you're finished. You're not going to do it again. And there's no living evidence, so to speak, of the sin. But here, the parents are going to be forgiven. But this poor child, does this poor child still have the mark of a mamzer or not? Mm-hmm. Or can the parents' repentance fix the kid? That's really the question that's being asked. I think it's a great question.
Repentance.
Yeah, the mother's repentance. The mother. So here we go. Let's look at the question. We are on the first page of the packet, on the bottom right. We're going to start with this.
In English or no?
No, I'm going to read it in Hebrew and translate it, Sonia. Right here. Okay. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. Our rabbi, please teach us. Torah hi vilalmod ani tzarich. This is Torah and I need to learn. Haba al ha'erva v'holid mimena mamzer. So if one has relations with someone who we shouldn't, it's actually like a double whammy because it's a woman he shouldn't have relations with and the result is a mamzer. I don't believe it's the case that not every woman who you shouldn't have relations with will result in a mamzer, but this is a double whammy. V'zem avot she'ein l'takein v'achar kach asat tshuva. This seems to be like a sin which cannot be undone, and afterwards he does tshuva. She'en lecha davar ha'omeid b'fnei ha'tshuva. There's nothing that stands in the way of repentance. Naniach she'asa tshuva me'ahava. And let's assume he did tshuva out of love. But the Talmud says, she'zedonot nasot lo kizchuyot. Not only does repentance erase the sin, it can turn a sin into a merit. Right? If you learn from your sin and you promise to do it again and you become a better person because of the sin, then the sin becomes a merit. So now the person had this relationship, repents out of love, and their sin now becomes a merit. So retroactively, we've erased the sin. My dina dahai mamzer. What's the halacha? What's the din? What's the law of this kid, this baby that was born, this mamzer? V'nogeya le'olam haba. When it comes to the world to come, Atidin mamzerim lihitaher. Actually, the Talmud in Masechet Kiddushin, we'll get to this a little bit later also, relates a disagreement as to what is going to be the status of mamzerim when the Messiah comes. So according to one opinion in the Talmud, he's going to clear up all the cases. There'll be no mamzerim left. He's going to figure out a way to unmamzerize everybody, if that's a word. So that's going to happen latid lavo when the Messiah comes. Aval ba'olam hazeh. Yeah, when the Messiah comes. Oy is right. We have to wait. And that's exactly what the person who's asking the question is. Oy, aval ba'olam hazeh. What about today in our world, in this world? Eich yachol liyot shezeh naseh lo aveira l'zchut. How could it be that the parents who did the sin are now benefiting from the merit? V'zeh asur lavo bekal. And this poor kid can't marry a regular Jew. There are tears of the oppressed, and there's no one to comfort them. Or let's say, another way to get the parents out of trouble is, let's say it was a real shogeg. The first example is, they had this relationship on purpose, but they repented. real serious, sincere repentance. So they're freed from sin. But let's say the sin was an accident. And this it gives some interesting examples of how this could be an accident. Kigon ha'erva ve'ishto b'mita achat. This man is in a bed with his wife and this other woman. And accidentally, maybe he meant to have relations with his wife, and he ended up having relations with his woman. I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
This is rather
far-fetched.
The other woman's got to be like a stepsister.
Some sort
which
of...
Which is forbidden.
Right.
It cannot be another woman, because another woman who's not married, it's allowed.
Correct, right. Oh, beheter gamor shaniseh bebet edim. This is less far-fetched. The rabbis allowed him to marry this certain woman, assuming that her husband was dead. Then they find out that the husband's alive. So that also makes this child a mamzer. No one sinned on purpose in that case. Let's see, she was raped. And a mamzer is born. So in that case, when it's a complete shogeg, an accident, the parents have no culpability at all, and all that's left is the sin. Not the sin, is the fact that this child is a mamzer. Shalo chata klum, who didn't do anything wrong. Right? The baby didn't do anything wrong. V'efshar yesh lahamis ze b'divrei Daniel chaita. Okay, we could stop there. So that's the question. Is there a way to, can we possibly undo, go to the next paragraph. L'varer li davar ze, clarify this for me, he asked Rav Uziel. Lama lo toel tshuvato gam lahamamzer. Why can't the tshuva of the parents also, the repentance of the parents also work for the child?
That's what I'm thinking.
It should, right?
I would think so, because the poor child, he or she didn't do anything wrong.
Right, and that's how he ends the question. V'hanolad shelo chata klum yamut b'cheto. And this child who didn't sin at all should die with this sin attached to him? So it's a fascinating question.
Except that the mumzer child never has the cause for being a mumzer. Someone else has always done it. So the Torah says that has this rule of a mumzer. So the child never was involved. It was the parents did. So the Torah says the child's a mumzer automatically.
Right.
It's not that the child ever...
Of course not. Of course.
There shouldn't be a mumzer concept. Unless there's a reason for the mumzer concept.
Are they repenting in public or private? Because public, you can see how it's all out in the open.
Right.
Now. So
no,
that makes it worse.
I'm not sure if it's... Yeah, he doesn't say. They just say there was real sincere repentance. Okay. Tshuva, bottom of the left column. Hatshuva. Ben shetiyem miyira, o afilu imhi mi'ava. Where even the tshuva is out of fear, so it's a sort of a low-grade repentance. O imhi mi'ava, or if it's repentance out of love, which is a high-grade repentance.
Love of the woman or love of God?
Love of God. Love of God. Oh, shehazadonot nasot l'zchuyot. Even if they repent in a way, like I mentioned earlier, that the sin becomes a merit, eina mo'ila ela letaheret nishmat hachote shenichtima bezuhamat hachet. It only changes one thing. It only fixes the stain on the soul of the sinner.
Of the what?
Of the sinner.
Both people. Man and woman repent.
Whoever repents, the stain is removed from their soul. But what doesn't it change? The outcome. Similarly, I mean, a similar example would be if someone steals $100 and they repent. They still, if they don't return the $100, it's still a problem. Right? Repentance doesn't change the fact that you owe someone $100. It may have removed, or it's part of the process of removing the stain on your soul, but the $100 is still outstanding. So that's why I think what he's saying here. Im yu chateichem kishanim kishelag yalbinu, im yadimu kitola kitsemer yeyu. But the sin cleanses you. The hezber hadivarim hu. Now he's actually going to give us the anatomy of sin. Hachet shadam nirshal bo b'shogeg o b'mezid. Someone who sins, whether it's by accident or on purpose. Kovet chuna ra'a b'nefesh u'magbir hatavah la'avera. Sort of imprints on the soul of the person a negative mark and increases the desire for sin. So there are two things happen when one sins. Your soul is stained and your desire to sin increases more. Like once you've tasted the forbidden fruit, you want it even more. Bibichinat, and he explains that this works in according to the following principle, which is in the Talmud. Kevan shavar ve'ra v'shanabo nasit lo keheter. Once someone sins and then does it again, it's in their eyes as if it is permitted. Right? We just get used to the sin and we just keep doing it over and over again without regard for the fact that it's a sin. Hakavanashu choshev shalemarot yisuro b'torah, despite the fact that it's forbidden, v'chol zot ein zot avera musarit v'lo pelilit, after all, it's not an ethical sin. It's not a criminal sin. Right? No one's getting hurt. So this is very interesting because in most criminal justice systems, what we're concerned with is protecting other people. Right? Our crimes, a crime is when you do something that harms someone else. In Judaism, that's also not allowed, but that's not where the definition of sin ends. In Judaism,
it seems to me that maybe you can't repent for those kind of things, where you've hurt somebody, or a child has been made into a mamza.
Right.
You really
it seems. Well, we'll see. It's going to be hard. But what he's saying is what we sometimes tend to think is since no one gets hurt, leaving aside the question of the mamza, no one gets hurt. You know, by me eating a cheeseburger, so that's not a sin. Certainly not criminal. It's not unethical. There's nothing ethically wrong with eating a cheeseburger. So, what's the big deal? Therefore, in order to really achieve repentance, it requires a great deal of effort to control our desire to do that sin. Again, when no one's getting hurt. So that great effort, when it's done out of love, it is in itself a merit. And turns all those sins into merits because of the effort put in. Each sin requires its own effort. Each sin that we repent for is turned into a merit because of the hard work that we put into it, because tshuva is very difficult. It doesn't turn this illegitimate relationship into a mitzvah that you get reward for. Right? One can still be punished for it, even with death. So there, the tshuva works to a degree, but it doesn't undo. It undoes the stain on your soul, but it doesn't undo the fact that the sin exists. And then he gives an example. Adam shechal basar nevela v'hir il. It's a great example. Let's say someone eats something not kosher, and at the same time they also get stomach poisoning from it, food poisoning from it. Right, v'hir il et kivato. So he poisons his stomach. Ha'im atshuva me'ava tirafeoto. So let's say then the person now really repents. Does that heal him from the food poisoning? No, it doesn't. It may heal his soul from the stain, but he still has stomach poisoning. Oh, Adam habal hanida b'shogeg b'mezid b'ones b'ratzon v'nasei dekach bal pelifus v'shav b'tshuva me'ahava. Or a person does another sin, he has a relationship with someone he shouldn't. Ha'im atshuva merapeoto mimachlato. He has relations with a woman, and then he gets some sort of sexually transmitted disease.
Serves him right.
So then what happens, right? What happens? He does tshuva, he repents, so he removes the stain from his soul, but he's still sick. So I think that's what Raviel seems to be saying here. This couple that had this illegitimate relationship, they may do tshuva and it may remove the stain of their soul, but it can't undo the fact that there's a mamzer. Vadailo, it certainly can't. It can't do it. So that's basically...
question.
His answer.
I've question if there's certain kinds of things that you repent for and others that you really can't. I
mean, well, you could repent for everything. The question is, what has to happen in order for there to be complete repentance? There's a whole discussion about this in the Talmud. Maimonides talks about it. The Talmud mentions that there's, for some sins, that the only thing that ultimately will bring complete total forgiveness is death. Not the death penalty, but only when a person dies are they fully forgiven. And then others say that that only applies if one repents out of fear, but if one repents out of love, then any sin could be repented for. So either way, any sin could be repented for. I think the Maimonides may talk about the sin of desecrating God's name may be the only one that can't be repented for. But generally speaking, all sins can be repented for. So his response is that it's true that the couple may remove the stain on their soul, but at the end of the day, the child is still a mamzer. They can't fix that. Just like if you ate tray food and you get stomach poisoning from it, you could repent for eating the tray food, but it's not going to heal your stomach poisoning. That requires, you know, some other type of intervention, which is not available in the situation of the mamzer. So if we turn now to the page Chaf Bet, looks like this, just second to last page. There you go, you have it right there, Sonia. We're just going to read towards the end of this question. On the right column, the bottom is a line. So he's answered the question sort of halachically, that you can't undo this mamzer, unfortunately. And then he wants to talk.
Is that just this one rabbi saying that?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that this would be the line. This would be the approach for most.
So.
Yeah, there's not much room to maneuver here, unfortunately.
Well.
Where does he say that?
So I don't know.
Where does he say what?
That the mumser says the mumser.
Well, that's the example in the examples he's given. Is that
he's talking about that the husband, the man, and the woman can be cleansed, but
right?
But he's leaving the mumser alone.
Because nothing to do about it. Nothing to do. Just like
if there's a mumser in the sacred Torah, it's got to be a reason. I mean, it's got to exist. He can't get rid of it.
I'm not sure I understand. If a person is
the baby is a mumser.
Statuses change all the time, right? You could change from guy to Jew.
Right, so the baby is a mumser and it says mumser lo yavo b'kal Yisrael.
Right, so the question is, can you undo the status of mumser? That's the question. You have a guy also can't marry a Jew. But you could turn the guy into a Jew. So maybe you could turn the mumser into a non-mumser. And he's saying that doesn't work. There's no conversion process.
You know, that
from moms or to non-moms.
It doesn't seem like Judaism because it has no humanity or no feeling.
It is a hard one. I agree, Sonia.
And probably more than anything, nobody would say anything.
Yeah.
If no one says anything, then nobody knows.
I mean, Maimonides says that the reason for this is to keep people far away from these type of relationships.
Yeah.
And hopefully by people realizing the terrible mark you're going to put on this innocent child, people won't do it. Having said that, it's still a very difficult one.
What happens if no one says anything and they just raise the child?
So that's another interesting study which maybe we'll do, how communities actually dealt with momsers. And they're very interesting ways of how the community has dealt with it. So let's see what he says at the end here. First he says, Omdim negdenu machlokatam shel tanaim. We have in front of us a disagreement of the rabbis of the Talmud. Tanu rabbanon, Mamziri v'natini tohorim latid lavo. This is the Gemara that I mentioned before, Masechet Kiddushin, that there are certain types of, I guess we'll call them defects, not genetic, but spiritual or ritual, which are going to be purified in the Messianic era. Divri Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, like I said before, all the Mamzerim are going to be cleaned, done. We'll figure out a way to get them back into the community.
That could be a long way.
We have to wait for that, yeah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Torin. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not going to happen. We're not going to fix them. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi, v'halo kivar ne'mar v'zarakti aleichem mayim torim v'tahartem. Rabbi Yossi says, hold on a second, Rabbi Meir. We have a verse that says, and I will cast pure water upon you, and you'll be purified. Which is talking about the Messianic era, which he says applies to all people, including Mamzerim. Amar lo Rabbi Meir, kishu omer mikol tu motechem v'lo min Mamzerim. He says, yeah, Rabbi Meir says, I know that verse. I know my scripture. But it doesn't apply to Mamzerim. It applies to other types of impurity, but not to a Mamzer. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachic Rabbi Yossi. So the Talmud actually, our Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, rules in accordance with Rabbi Yossi that in the end the Mamzerim actually will be purified. Now that was the quote of the Talmud. Now Rabbi Uziel continues. Vim ki divareinu shem mamzerutu mum benefesh. Eich yitaru mamzerim mipkimat nafsham. If being a mamzer is a stain on the soul, how are they going to be cleansed, purified, unmamzered in the Messianic era? He thinks that after some analysis, this Talmudic section actually supports his contention that there are two aspects of sin. One, you stole money, you have to pay it back. Two, there's a stain on your soul. Those are two separate things. You could maybe return the money, but not get rid of the stain on your soul, or maybe get rid of the stain on your soul, but you don't return the money. There are two separate things. He says, and this little disagreement in the Talmud actually corresponds to what I said, and he explains how. Tine yesh lavin plugtam shel hanau tanam. We have to understand what they're arguing about. Vine atosot katvu b'kedushin pirashti b'mai plig rabbi yos rabbanan. This is also interesting. He quotes another rabbinic authority from the Middle Ages who says, I've explained elsewhere this disagreement about what's going to happen to the future Mamzerim. However, Aval Perusham ze lo zachinu le'oro. It got lost. So we don't know. The Tosfot, it's like we have a, it's like a teaser. This medieval rabbinic group of rabbis called the Tosfot, they tell us, they've explained what this means in the following location, and you look there, and it's not there. So it was lost. Over time it was lost, unfortunately. However, Rabbi Zuyal says, "Venira li de plugtam hizot." He says, "I think I could figure out what they're arguing about. Maybe he's trying to reconstruct this missing commentary, which is neat in its own right." Says Rabbi Meir Savar, "Ein lashon tahara nofel ela bidarim hadidukim al haguf." Rabbi Meir says purification only applies to physical things, kigon zuhama v'tuma, like dirt or impurity, which is a physical ailment. She'ela heim tumotehem v'gilulechem. Aval lo mamzeru chimum she'be'etzem hagufo ha'nefesh. So when the verse talks about purification, that only applies to purification from a physical impurity, but not a spiritual impurity. So that's where Rabbi Meir says the mamzerim are not going to be purified. Rabbi Yossi v'adai lo cholek al zeh. Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree with this. Ela shehu sover, what does he hold? Shekeshem shahatara migilulim v'tumahi b'derech nes, atid lavo aydei kadosh Yisrael ka'amor v'zarakti aleichem. Just like that aspect of purification is going to be miraculous because God's going to do it. Af mamzer v'netinim yiteru b'derech zot latid lavo. So if God could miraculously cleanse those with physical ailments, God will also miraculously cleanse those with the spiritual ailments. Moshe Amar, Az Yidaleg Ka'ayil Pasach V'Taron Lashon Ilein V'Nar Ben Me'a Shanayim. So he says it's just going to be a miracle. It's interesting. It's going to be God, I guess, executing executive privilege of the ability to miraculously undo all cases of Mamzeret. Then he says, U'l'inyan Psak Halacha, however, regarding practical rule, even though the Babylonian Talmud rules in accordance to Rabbi Yossi that it will be purified, HaYerushalmi Palig Atalmudin, the Jerusalem Talmud, disagrees with the Babylonian Talmud. U'masik Rabbi Huna b'shem Rabbi Yosef Amar Ein Halachik Rabbi Yossi Latid Lavo, who quote other rabbis saying that the law is not going to be like Rabbi Yossi in the future, that the Mamzerim are not going to be purified. So now we have an interesting machloket, disagreement between the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud. According to the Babylonian Talmud, these Mamzerim will be purified. According to the Jerusalem Talmud, they will not be purified. And according to the opinion that says they will be purified in the Babylonian Talmud, that's going to be a miracle. According to Rabbi Uziel, it will be a miracle that God renders. So we're seeing there, Rabbi Uziel is distinguishing between two aspects of sin. One is the human ramifications of the sin, the physical impurity, or the money that's been stolen, for example. But also there's a stain on the soul that also needs to be cleansed. I found it interesting that Rabbi Soloveitchik writes almost the exact same thing 100 years later, around, on the back page, Rabbi Soloveitchik's famous work on repentance called On Repentance. He writes on page 51, the third paragraph, however, sin also has a polluting quality. The Jewish view recognizing a state of impurity of sin. The entire Bible abounds in references to this idea of self-pollution, contamination, rolling about in the mire of sin. This impurity makes its mark on the sinner's personality. Sin, as it were, removes the divine halo from man's head, impairing his spiritual integrity. In addition to the frequent appearance of the idea in Scripture and the homiletical teaching of the Agadah, we also find many concrete references to the impurity of sin in Halacha. An Israelite who has transgressed suffers a reversal in his legal status. Should a man commit a prohibited act and be charged with the stripes or capital punishment, not only does he have to pay the penalty for his sins, he's also discredited as a witness in a court of Jewish law. This does not constitute further punishment, but is rather indicative of a change of his personal status. So there are two things that happens when a person sins. There's the actual sin, which is the deed that's been done wrong, and until that is paid back, the person's a sinner. But there's sort of a retrofitted problem onto the person. But internally, on the soul level, the person's also
changes his personality.
Right. Which, remember, we said Rabbi Uziel says the sin now becomes easier.
He's very hard.
Well, here he's explaining. He's actually not judging. He's explaining what he thinks happens in sin, but the rest of the article explains how that also could be undone. It can be undone. That stain on a person's soul could also be undone. There are two things. If you steal money, you have to pay it back, and then you also have to fix the stain, resolve that problem that's been on the staining soul, which is, I think, very, very similar to what Rabbi Uziel is saying. The only difference is that Rabbi Uziel is saying that sometimes, maybe this is the only time, in the case of a mamzer, you can't fix the first half. There's no tshuva for the first half, which is the physical problem created. You can't return the money in this case because you can't unmamzer the child. But the stain on the soul can in fact be removed through tshuva. So we have a unique circumstance where the sinner who sinned can be cleansed while the damage is still there and can actually never be undone.
It seems to me in Judaism some rabbi would have decided the child could go to the mikveh and be clear, cleansed.
Right. So like we said, prayers. You can do that if you're a Gentile, but there's no way to do that if you're a mamzer. Now, I do
Nobody
think...
Nobody has ever said anything.
Not that I'm aware of. Now, that's not that there have not been creative solutions to try to deal with mamzerim, And what we should do is we should spend, maybe that's an interesting class
well,
for us to have.
Rape makes a mumser if the woman is married and she's raped by a stranger, that's a mumser.
Sure.
So what happens in shtetls, you know?
Usually what happened?
The woman has to get married. Or the man has to go, that's my child.
Or in the old days it was easier. The kid just went to another city or country. There was no paper trail. There was no Google. There was no way to know. The kid just shows up. I'm a Jew. Okay, you're a Jew. Great.
I'm a Cohen.
And he lived there, and no one ever knew. That's I think pretty much what happened in the old days.
That's what I'm thinking.
But now it's much harder to do that because
now
we keep much better track, and so that's we'll talk about that more. But in any case, this last example is a fascinating example because it allows us to zero in on the fact that sin brings in its wake two things. Often a physical outcome, which usually can be fixed, and a stain on the soul of the person. So tshuva is really a dual path. There's a path to fixing the error, the wrong that's been done, and then also trying to undo the personality defect that's been created by the person doing the sin, which is harder. It's a lot easier to write that right out of check than it is to fix one's soul. Yeah.
Tshuva.
It's very hard. Okay, thank you, everybody.